This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. I guess you've got some results for us, Barry.
Well, the APBF is over in China, and New Zealand teams winging their way home. The mixed team ended up being the stars. They got up to 5th out of 10. Not too far from the third pair either, not getting a medal. Those Aussies, they certainly outshone us this year. Their open team coming in third, getting a bronze medal. And their seniors team went the whole way and won.
So, nice.
Good results for the Aussies.
Well done.
I guess if we can't win, it's quite nice to see the Aussies getting a couple of medals.
Yeah. You're going to claim those expat Kiwis, are you?
Well, there were a couple of expat Kiwis in the open team. And David Beecham was in the seniors team. We've had him on the Bridge Zone a couple of times. Does that make him a Kiwi?
What's coming up this week?
Well, this week, of course, is the King's Birthday Congresses in Hawke's Bay and Auckland.
Oh, right.
And yeah, I know that at least some of the players from China will be back and playing. Like they haven't had enough bridge for the last couple of weeks.
Bring on some more bridge. But it's different, though, isn't it? You're in familiar surroundings. I guess the room that you're playing in isn't as big. There's less noise.
I was just looking up what they had to say about the Australian results at the APBF. All a bit depressing for us Kiwis to see how well they did, but, you know. I was on the ABF site and I saw they've got out the ABF board communique for May. Much flasher than us. They don't have a newsletter. They have a communique. One of the things they mentioned, which we haven't mentioned on the show and probably should have, is the WBF president, Jan Kamras, who passed away in March. And Australia's Ben Thompson, who's been the WBF's first vice president, has been nominated to replace him for the remainder of the current term. So we've got an Australian in charge of World Bridge. That's about as close as we're going to get.
Oh, true.
So they're talking about the Gold Coast Congress, saying that despite exhaustive efforts and unable to secure dates, there will be no Gold Coast Congress in 2026. They're working together to explore alternative options for a Gold Point event at that time of year. But it won't be next year. I don't know. It might be not the one after either.
Yeah, they probably just need to give up at the stage and just let them have a rest. Yeah, I'll get you some goss because I'm playing overseas with William Van Bakel, who's on the Queensland board or whatever it is. I'll see what they're doing. By the way, it's the Barrier Reef Congress next year in Cairns. Do you think you might get a phone call to see if you want to go and play teams?
Well, of course, it was in Yeppoon this year. Fred Whittaker, who we normally play with when we go over there, was doing pretty well until the last day, and it all just fell to pieces a little bit at the end. Was leading the pairs for a bit and then dropped at the end to finish third. And yeah, I don't think the teams went so well either. We'll see. So yeah, Barrier Reef Congress in Cairns could be a good place to go. There's no Gold Coast. So the other thing I found in one of the ABF newsletter is that their finances are continuing to improve. The board's already discussing priorities for much-needed investments in 2026 and beyond when ABF's revenues are forecast to once again cover more than its operational costs. So that's good news. They're going to have some money.
That's cool.
They've got another thing going on over there, and I wonder whether New Zealand would consider this. This is in Australia called the International Performance Task Force. The board is keen to understand how we can support our international teams to improve their performance on the world stage, despite us having many talented top-class players, as evidenced by the recent performances of Andy Sartaj and Nabil in the World Tour. Also Michael Wibley there, by the way. We have not enjoyed great results at World or Asia-Pacific Teams Championships for many years. Obviously, this is written before they won the gold medal this year at the seniors and the bronze in the Open.
Yeah.
But anyway, a task force chaired by Axel Johansson was appointed by the board in February to review the situation, provide us with recommendations on how we might be able to turn our fortunes around. Working with the tournament and interviewing a broad range of players from both within Australia and from successful countries around the world. They'll provide a report to the board in September, and we will look to implement their recommendations in 2026 with our eyes on improved results at the World Championships in 2027. So look out for that. Mm. Australia are going to take over the world. So the major championship events held under the auspices of the WBF occur in a 4-year cycle. The events to be held in Poland in 2026 are what are referred to as transnational events. So that's not really like a world championship. So there's not too much on in 2026. Probably one of the bigger events is perhaps the Asia Cup, which I understand is being held in India. Whether New Zealand will send somebody to that, I don't know. Who would we talk to, do you think, on New Zealand Bridge to find out whether we'd be interested in an international performance task force or something like that? Who do we need to talk to?
Are you thinking
We could bring the
something?
boss and ask him.
Are you thinking something along the lines of a high performance manager? Is that what you're thinking?
Oh, just what they've said there is they called it a task force. He's going to review the situation and provide them with recommendations as to how they might be able to turn their fortunes around at WBF events. And I guess that's what they're looking at. They would work with the tournament committee. I'm not quite sure how that fits in. And interviewing a broad range of players from both within Australia and from successful countries around the world. What are they going to do? Are they going to walk all over us in 2027, do you think? That's when it's due to sort of improve the results.
Who knows? I just want to remind everybody that the Bridge Technology Train for 2025, being held by Real Bridge, starts tomorrow. And you can select which times suit you best. If you are keen, jump onto Real Bridge, have a look at the Bridge Technology Train, and get in. They've got various dates with the same presentation being held. But to get information from all four, you actually have to select two dates. That's a plug for Real Bridge. Who is actually going to do a refresh for the Hamilton Bridge Club just on how to work Real Bridge? Because we've got our Swiss Pairs coming up in June, runs for 3 weeks on a Wednesday, and it's being played online with Real Bridge. So we're just getting our ducks in a row ready for that to happen. Yep.
I understand that you're the contact person for Hamilton Bridge Club with for Real Bridge. So it's all
Just
going to be on
one
your
of them.
shoulders, isn't it?
I'm going to pass it across. I can make a 9 o'clock on Wednesday, but after that, I'll be in the air. Maybe Nigella will be able to do that.
He's
So,
not one of the contact people, though, is he?
no, it's easy enough to add people. Do you know who's directing that tournament?
Yes, I do. We've got a national director doing it for us. That's impressive, isn't it?
Is it Judge Julie?
It's the world famous Judge Julie.
Awesome. That's good.
So that'll be good. We've got 17 tables already and we're a month out.
That's awesome.
Nigel and I have got a bet on. He reckons we're going to get 28 tables.
Okay.
And I reckon we're perhaps not. I was thinking 24. And when he wanted to have a bet, he said 28. And I said, right, I'll say 26 then. This is to increase my chance of winning the bet because, anything,
Anything
anything
under
26.
28?
Yeah, well, if I went for 24, that would mean if it's 26, I won't win. But he's a bit grumpy about that. He's not happy about that fact that I'm. He said, "You only said that after I'd said 28." And I said, "Oh, well, here you go." He was the
He
one who
should have
was.
said 30. 30 would be a great number to have. And there's big chances that it could happen.
We're still looking entries for the Hamilton Swiss Pairs. 3 Wednesday nights in a row, starting on the 18th of June, 7:30. It's a 5A. You can play it from your lounge. You can spend the whole time sitting next to your fridge if you want.
It sounds like it should be fun.
It's just like a normal tournament. You need 3 nights, and it is like just like a normal tournament where you can't just slope off at lunchtime and not come back for the second session.
Okay, so how
But
many boards a night are they going to play? You'd have to play a minimum of
I guess
24,
they'll
yeah?
have. I'm picking they'll have 3 9-board matches a night. I did actually have a bit of a look the last 3 years. That we've
Yeah.
held it face to face, we've had 9 or 10 tables. To have 17 already is pretty cool.
That's very cool. That's awesome.
We're going to at least double the number.
Sounds good. I'm just going to see what the time difference is. I can't remember. Hong Kong time. It's 4:28, so they're 4 hours behind us. Oh, okay. That's a leisurely thing.
So you'd start at 3:30 in the afternoon, would you?
Yeah. So at 3:30, be done by dinner time.
Let's just have a look at the entries. We've got people from Otago, Fielding, Christchurch, Papatoetee, North Shore, Invercargill, Taupo, Papatoetee, East Coast Bays, Oamaru, Warkworth, Harawira, Queenstown,
See,
Howick,
there you go,
Mount
the
Albert,
power of online.
Cambridge, Palmerston North, Masterton, Richmond, Franklin, Tauranga, Havelock North. They're from all over. I'm surprised Father Christmas isn't playing as well. Hey, I have got some breaking news for you that I've stolen out of the newsletter that I was reading.
Right.
Did you know about the latest bridge movie star in New Zealand?
Nope.
Rochelle Van Hooven from Te Araha.
Oh.
They shot the movie called The Gone. Part of it was filmed in Te Araha. I'm just looking at a picture now. They're lifting somebody in or out of on a stretcher. In the background, you can see Rochelle. So there you go. Apparently, she will sign autographs if you see her at Congress.
I do remember that show was being shot in Te Araha. How cool.
So if you're listening to this, Rochelle, sorry, but that is the price of fame.
Well done, Rochelle. We were driving through there once. I had my mum with me. I think we were going over to Matamata. And she said, oh, they had been doing some filming of this program. She didn't know what it was. Very good.
I was reading in one of the newsletters I was looking at, I think it might have been Matamata, that they've got about a dozen people learning bridge there. As you know, Hamilton's got about 50. Where are all those emails been from the people listening telling us how many beginners they've got?
No.
Come on, listeners, just send us an email in and tell us how many learners you got, just because we're nosy. bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. I'd be promised to read it out if you send one.
It was great to read that NZ Bridge Foundation, the new trustees have been appointed.
Who have we got?
Liz Rowe from Dunedin and Richard Solomon from Te Aroha. And they're also looking for an honorary solicitor. I wonder if they've had that sorted out by now.
Well, I don't know whether they're queuing up for the job. I think the previous guy had been there for Fergus, is it? He'd been there for quite
yonks.
Some time, hadn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely yonks. I think he was there since you were a girl.
They said that he's been there for many years.
I've been playing bridge for 30 years, and I think it's just about as long as I can remember he's been the honorary solicitor. So what a great job.
Gosh, that's a long time, isn't it? Okay, what's your opinion on this? Avoid putting unnecessary pressure on your partner. How do you do that?
Well, just make it easier for when you're defending, make your signals clear. And if you know what to do, do it. Stop partner from doing something wrong and they leave the kick or something, overtake the action, switch to whatever you need to. So I was playing with somebody once and we were defending this contract, which we misdefended. And later on, I said, well, you could have just doubled the transfer to help me with the lead. You know, he could have doubled the thing so I'd know what to lead. And he said, what, do you want me to spoon feed you? And I thought about that for a minute. And then I said, yes, I do. That's exactly what I want. I want you to spoon feed me. That's your answer.
If he did double the two diamonds, saying it was a transfer to hearts, which suit are you saying? The one that he wants you to transfer to or diamonds? Which one?
The opponents have gone one no trump. Pass, two diamonds, transfer. And this person's got five hearts, and now your partner's going to double to say lead hearts. It's never going to happen. It's diamonds they want. If you double stamen, one no trump, two clubs, and you double stamen, you're not asking for one of the majors. You're asking for clubs. So
right.
If you double an artificial bid, it's asking the lead of that suit. And I mean, the good part, it is sort of useful, is if partners really doesn't know what to lead, and you haven't doubled two diamonds, well, that's one suit they're probably going to eliminate from their suits that they might lead. They're probably not going to lead hearts, which is the suit they're transferring it into. So if you don't double two diamonds, you're probably going to get the lead of one of the black suits. You know, your odds have improved.
50-50, yeah.
Quite often have a laugh about that. Do you want me to spoon feed you? And it really occurred to me that most of us would love to be spoon fed.
What about when you're playing the hand, there's a saying called count, count, and count again. You like that tip?
There's not that much to count, really. There's only 13 cards in every suit.
Yep.
There's only 40 points in the pack. There's not that much counting to do. But that's my tip for the week is, if you can spoon feed partner, do it. Anything you can do to stop partner from stuffing things up, do that. Make your signals nice and clear. And if you can help partner out, help them out.
And we're heading to the courthouse. To know me is to love me.
I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Good morning, Bailiff.
Yes, good morning.
Is it raining hard up your way?
No, I can see blue sky out there at the moment.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all part of the sky I'm looking at. It was raining yesterday.
Well, I hope our listeners down in Nelson are doing okay today.
Yes, indeed. When it all comes down at once, it's a bit of a bugger.
Yes, it is.
Righto, now we've finished with the weather report.
Yep.
Right. problem, and I guess it's a reasonably common problem, is where, you know, you're playing a brand new convention, it's the first time, and then you make a bid, and then you realise that you've just forgotten your own convention partner will let you bid. And the example I was given was somebody's agreed to play Flannery. Two diamonds shows, five hearts and four spades. They've been playing week two in diamonds for years. They opened a week two in diamonds, and their partner alerts it and bids two hearts. And there they are, sitting there with two spades, two hearts, six diamonds and three clubs. What do they do?
The thing is that you have to make the bid that you would have made if you hadn't remembered your convention, because you've got a clue that tells you that you'd remember the convention, even if you are sure that you remembered before your partner reached across the table to alert your call. The problem is that you can't prove that, you can't show that. And of course, if you had a rule that you could act on that information as long as you told the director, oh, yes, I'd remembered before my partner alerted, then guess what? Unscrupulous people would take advantage of it. So the rules sort of require it to be that it's clear that you didn't get any unauthorized information. I mean, in some ways, if you were behind screens, you'd be better off, because if there was a screen across the table, so you couldn't see what your partner did or didn't alert, or what sort of explanation they gave, then you'd be able to take whatever action you want and so maybe try to get the message across to partner. But if you rebid your diamond suit and for some reason partner remembered, the director should take the score away and go back to say, well, you know, this is what I think might have happened if you hadn't used that unauthorized information. So I don't know. It depends. Do people play a new suit as forcing after a two-diamond week two? I must admit, I don't know, because I don't play a two-diamond week two. But if two diamonds, two hearts is a forcing bid, then you should make whatever action seems normal. If you've got two card support, it seems a bit tricky as to what the right call is. It's whether it's raising to three hearts or perhaps bidding two no trumps. But whichever the action is that doesn't take advantage of that unauthorized information is the one that you should take. So, for instance, if you thought, well, if I didn't know, I would either bid three diamonds or two no trumps, then the right thing to do is to not say, oh, yes, I would have definitely bid three diamonds and zip them with your three diamond bid. It's to say, well, yeah, maybe I would have bid two no trumps and choose that option. That's tricky, isn't it? You're supposed to try to not choose the one that would be convenient to you trying to escape from your forgetting your system. And that's one of those things.
As a director, though, if you got called over and they'd bid two hearts, would it be your job to find out whether, in fact, they played two hearts as forcing?
Well, yes, I might actually take people away from the table and say that. If two hearts, for instance, wasn't forcing, then I would pass. Because if I had three card heart support, I would raise to three hearts, even though I knew that it was going to be a stupid contract. Imagine you brought someone to the table, handed them your hand and said, you've opened a week two diamonds and partners bid two hearts. So they had no idea you were playing Flannery.
Yeah.
And you said that away from the table so your partner couldn't hear. Well, if they had three card support, they'd probably raise through to three hearts, wouldn't they?
They would.
So that's what you're supposed to do, even though you have now remembered.
Right.
But the hand you gave me where you had presumably 2-2-6-3 shape.
That's right.
If it was not forcing, well, maybe you would have passed. I mean, you know that partner's probably only got two or three hearts. You only know that because you've now remembered the system either with or without the help of partner alerting. Maybe even partner picking up their pen was what to go and circle your bid. Maybe that was what alerted you, even though you actually remembered before they actually circled it. Just the fact that they sprang into action might have been, who knows?
Yeah.
Because the worst part of the whole thing is now you've got the cynical old director has arrived at the table and he's never going to believe anything about me remembering it earlier. So,
yeah, but that's the thing. It's not that the director's being cynical, it's applying the law. And the law's there because if you have a more generous rule that says, oh, the director will believe the player remembered when they said they did, I mean, you might be fine, but there will be players who take advantage of that and say, of course. And look, like I said, they could be being completely honest when they said they remembered before partner alerted, because they might not have actually factored in their brain that they remembered when their partner picked up the pen. They might not have reached across and circled their bid yet, but the fact that partner sprang into action might have been what alerted them even before they alerted that call. So you've got to have a rule where a sharp player cannot take advantage of it. Because let's face it, the rules are designed for all levels of play, and certainly at a higher level, some people try to cheat in other ways, taking advantage of saying, oh, I remembered when they hadn't actually remembered before that. That would be stupid to have a rule that allowed that, wouldn't it? So that's the rule. And you can't have a rule that says the director judges who they believe and who they don't. Just imagine that this situation happened this week and I said, oh, yes, of course you remembered before, Barry. I'll let you have that bit back. And then next week the same thing happened with someone else and I said, oh, no, I don't trust you. I gave this back to Barry last week, but no, I don't trust your word. So the simple rule is you don't trust anybody's word. It has to be clear.
I remember where you've heard it first, Mariana. Patrick said, never trust anyone.
Well, yeah. I can point you to the rule book, which basically says that. Maybe it doesn't say it in quite those same words. Essentially, the rule book asks you to look for evidence rather than what the word of someone. So there are some situations where you might talk to someone about their sister. Just a general principle. There's a really good idea that you go by what you can tell from the bidding and the play, not from what someone tells you. So a common situation is where people don't have a system card or a system, and you get a situation where it's a question of whether was it a misbid or was it a misexplanation? And that can be crucial, because if it's a misexplanation, the opponents have rights about what they would have done if they'd got the correct explanation. But if something's a misbid, then you don't have rights about what your own bids would have been. There could be other issues, but because you've received the correct explanation then, even though it doesn't match the hand that the person misbid. Now, because of that, it's really to the opponent's advantage if it was a misexplanation. So you can have a situation where someone, say, overcalls two clubs over 1-0 trump, and one of them says that it was landy and one of them says it was natural. You can't have a situation where someone says, oh, yes, no, it was the right explanation. I simply forgot. I'd be saying, well, can I see your system card? Can I see your system notes? On occasion, if I can't get it from system cards or system notes, it's possible. It might be, oh, there's a group of four of us that all play together. Go and ask Fred. He'll tell you what we play. I might take evidence from a third party, or even I have actually rung somebody's wife at home to get them to look up the system that they had at home and then got the information from their wife looking at the system they had at home. So, I'd try to search for truth, but I won't take somebody's word over this is the one that suits me, so I'm going to say that.
Okay, well, hopefully that's all good training for King's Birthday Congress coming up over the weekend where Patrick will be.
As you can tell, if you're coming to King's Birthday, actually having your system available is a really quite good idea. Yes, there's for an 8-point for tournaments, there's system cards required as opposed to a club play. So yes, there'll be system card, but sometimes things come up that aren't on the system card. If you keep a more clearer system with your partner, actually having it with you, even having it on a USB stick to say, plug this into your computer.
Yeah, and have a look.
That's what it is. That's certainly possible.
Oh, Barry would be one for doing that. You always do that, don't you, Barry? Carry your system and your system notes on a USB stick.
I was just hoping that if he gets called to my table, he doesn't remember that I called him a cynical old director during the week. And penalise me accordingly.
What do you mean this week as opposed to all those other weeks?
All those other weeks, that's right. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you very much.
And I hope not to see you too often over the weekend.
Okay, right.
See you, Patrick.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
Just before we go, we were going to have a little chat about who we think is going to be on the podium for this weekend. What are we picking? Are we picking from the teams event or are we picking from the open pairs?
Pairs,
okay. This is a $2 bet for one of your picks to make the podium.
Well, I've got to be careful. Am I going to pick my wife playing with the judge? Or am I going to pick somebody else?
Well, you've got Malcolm Mayer playing with Zach Yarn.
Bradley Johnston is playing with Lydia Turley.
Lysandra are playing.
So Brad and Lydia are all the way up from Otago. I'm sure they haven't come up for the good of their health.
Yeah. John and Herman are playing.
Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin playing with Kevin Hu. Jan Cormack and Leon Mayer. They're part of the mixed team to go to Denmark, having a bit of a practice.
Tuffy and Ian Barrington.
So Michael Weir and Matthew McManus are there.
Yeah.
Blair and Liz Fisher are back from China. Only flew in this week.
All right. So come on then. Who are you actually going to put your $2 worth? And this is just to make the podium.
I'll go for Tim and Lysandra. And you owe me $2 if they do. And I'll expect it in Bangkok funds.
You certainly don't want that, Barry. Well, actually, I could accept that. And then if you do win, I'll give you 10 cents. I'm going to go with my old mate, Mike Weir, with Matthew McManus.
Have a great time in Bangkok.
Well, take care, everybody, and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.